Hello and welcome to Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you up to date with some of the most interesting stories from the WVIA newsroom and beyond. Today, Governor Josh Shapiro has joined another lawsuit against the Trump administration. This one is over withholding Medicaid reimbursements from Planned Parenthood. And find out how the One Big Beautiful Bill has impacted Pennsylvania's solar industry. It's Wednesday, July 30th. Let's get into it. We'll start with some state politics today. Pennsylvania lawmakers have introduced a bill that would require home sellers to disclose flood risk to potential buyers. As Zoe Reed reports for WVIA, the goal is to encourage people to get flood insurance.
Flooding in Pennsylvania has caused property damage, forced people out of their homes, and in some cases, taken lives. As climate change threatens more intense storms, flood events in the state are predicted to surge. Yet fewer than 2% of insured homes in Pennsylvania include flood protection. The legislation would require sellers to disclose information like flood damage history and flood insurance requirements. Democratic State Representative Perry Warren is the bill's sponsor.
We are trying to raise awareness of the possibility of flooding and that they may want to insure against damage to the property that can be caused by a flood event.
The bill has been reported out of committee and awaits a vote on the House floor.
That was Zoe Reed reporting. Moving on to healthcare and politics now. Governor Josh Shapiro joined a multi-state lawsuit against the Trump administration over the defunding of Planned Parenthood on Tuesday. The administration's proposed measure would temporarily prevent Planned Parenthood from receiving Medicaid reimbursement. Shapiro and the other states included in the lawsuit allege the measure is illegal. In a Facebook post, Shapiro said the measure would, quote, rip away healthcare from thousands of Pennsylvanians. He also said the measure threatens to close healthcare centers. We have more on that at WVIA.org. And while that was happening, state and local leaders in Pennsylvania are brainstorming ways to preserve rural healthcare. For WVIA, Sydney Roach reports from a summit last week at the University of Pittsburgh at Bradford, where there is now a 7-county maternity care desert.
Several hospitals in north-central Pennsylvania have closed their labor and delivery services in the past few years. It's part of a bigger trend of declining access to healthcare and other services in rural communities. Dozens of people met at the summit to discuss these challenges and possible solutions. James Moat is a Cameron County commissioner. It's the least populated county in the state.
When you have people coming to the table like this, it just shows that there is a willingness to collaborate and there are people that actually do care.
The summit also included leaders from UPMC, Penn Highlands, the state secretary of health, and state lawmakers. Representative Marty Causer, a Republican, says he heard several ideas he might bring to Harrisburg.
There were some ideas about partnering with federally qualified healthcare centers, looking at potential birthing centers. We are going to have to get creative with that because women need a location to go deliver their babies, and we need to do it in a safe manner.
Healthcare leaders point to low reimbursement rates from the state and federal government as one reason for declining services, along with a shrinking rural population. In Bradford, I'm Sydney Roach.
More up to date after this break.
I'm Carla McCabe, President and CEO of WVIA. In an unprecedented action, Congress voted to claw back federal funding for public media. This means an immediate loss of $1.2 million for WVIA's operating budget. Although this news is devastating for WVIA's ongoing services, one thing is absolutely certain. Our communities stood with us in the fight to keep public media strong. Over the last few months, I've asked you to call and email elected officials to share your belief in the power and value of WVIA, and you did. Thousands of you mobilized to advocate on our behalf. Whether you liked, shared, commented, sent words of encouragement, or contacted your lawmakers, I am truly grateful. So today, I want to say thank you. WVIA will weather this storm, will persevere and march forward, finding innovative solutions to continue our mission and services. I'll be sharing more in the weeks and months ahead, but today I want to say a heartfelt thank you.
Welcome back. Now, let's take a look at some national budget impacts. The solar industry in the US and in Pennsylvania was shining bright, with rapid growth and new domestic manufacturing to supply the industry's needs. That abruptly changed in early July when the Republican-controlled Congress passed President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill. Julie Grant reports for WVIA on what's happening with solar now.
25-year-old John Rogers hands a solar panel to his coworker, who hoists the 45-pound, 6-foot-long panel onto his shoulder and back and lugs it up a ladder to the roof of a house in Pittsburgh's Squirrel Hill neighborhood. Rogers says it's been a busy summer for solar installation crews.
I mean, Squirrel Hill's been getting a lot more panels, but a lot of places have been getting a lot of panels, whether it's flat, steep, tall, you know, pretty short. If we could put panels on it, we most definitely will.
Even with the day's rain, the crew will complete this residential installation in less than one day. Their boss, Joe Morinville, who owns EIS Solar based in Pittsburgh, says since the One Big Beautiful Bill Act was signed by President Trump on July 4th, their phones are ringing off the hook. Old customers wanting to upgrade or add battery systems.
And there's all kinds of new customers coming in. I would say it's about 4x the amount of inquiry prior to the House bill. You know, now that it's passed, it's accelerating even further.
There's a rush because a 30% tax credit for residential solar projects is abruptly expiring at the end of this year. The credits were scheduled to run until 2032 under President Biden's landmark climate law, the Inflation Reduction Act. The Trump law also scraps tax breaks for larger scale solar projects early at the end of 2027. Morinville says he ramped up because of those tax breaks.
So we bought trucks, we hired people, we doubled our staff. You know, we grew in order to meet that demand.
Now Morinville expects many small local solar installers will go bankrupt because of the government's new message to the industry.
We don't need you guys anymore, you're done. You know, you're all canceled, right?
Solar critics say the industry should understand the ups and downs of politics. But President Trump isn't just rolling back the tax breaks. He's targeted the solar and wind industries in favor of natural gas, oil, and coal, offering the fossil fuels industry billions in handouts while putting up more and more roadblocks for renewable projects.
It's quite ironic that the president basically has called a 911 on an energy emergency, as he's called it, and essentially at the same time is destroying the fire department.
Sharon Piller is founder of the nonprofit Pennsylvania Solar Center. Energy bills are on the rise as electric grids in parts of the country voice concerns about demand outpacing supply. The PJM regional grid operator, which includes Pennsylvania, paid record high prices for electricity. For consumers, this means bills could rise by up to 5%. PJM sees increasing demand from the growth of power-hungry data centers, artificial intelligence, and electrification. At the same time, the solar industry is booming. Along with energy storage batteries, it accounted for 81% of new energy generation capacity nationwide last year. In Pennsylvania, the Public Utilities Commission announced that the state doubled its solar generation capacity in just 17 months. With much more waiting for approval.
And we're seeing literally hundreds of schools, farms, businesses, nonprofits, municipalities going solar because it's saving so much money for them over a long period of time. So the investment is upfront in the technology, but those savings will accumulate over the lifetime of the solar system, which is 30 years or more.
Piller credits Biden-era tax incentives for the industry's leap and the job growth. There are now more than 4,200 solar jobs in Pennsylvania. She points to Pittsburgh area companies like Eos Battery and Vitro Glass, which started making products for the solar industry. But she says the Big Beautiful Bill Act puts those jobs in jeopardy because investors and developers plan large-scale projects based on the expected tax breaks, which might not happen in the shortened time frame.
So the new bill that just passed, basically, I think the aim was to destroy the growth of renewable energy.
Diana Furchgott-Roth of the Heritage Foundation, the conservative think tank that published Project 2025, supports the rollbacks in the new law. She says renewable energy still relies on fossil fuels.
Because wind and solar, the components of those are made in China with coal-fired power plants. I mean, you cannot make a wind turbine without a high blast furnace that is generally run on coal. 70% of batteries are made in China. 70% of wind and solar components are made in China.
But Sean Gallagher says that's been changing. Gallagher of the Solar Energy Industry Association, a trade group, says Biden ushered in more than 200 factories making parts for the solar and battery industries in states like Texas, Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina.
The irony of the reconciliation package is going to lead to factory closures and people losing their jobs in the very districts of the members of Congress who voted for the bill.
President Trump visited Pittsburgh in July for an energy summit, touting $90 billion in energy investments, largely focused on building natural gas and nuclear capacity to power data centers and AI. But Gallagher says nuclear projects can take decades to build, and natural gas plants also take time.
If you ordered the parts for a new natural gas power plant today, you'd have to wait 5 to 7 years to actually put that plant in service. In the meantime, you could build tens of thousands of megawatts of solar. And we're going to do less of that simply because this administration has put its thumb on the scale for older, dirtier forms of energy instead of taking advantage of everything that America has to offer.
Back in Squirrel Hill, the solar installation is wrapping up, and the company says homeowners who want the tax credits for panels and batteries need to get in line soon because there's a limit to how many projects they can complete by the end of the year. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
All right, one more thing for you today. It's time for another Pennsylvania postcard from Director of Journalism, Julie Sidoni.
For many people, summer vacation means a stop at an amusement park. Some in the Scranton and Wilkes-Barre areas remember when a popular park could be found right in their backyards. Rocky Glen Amusement Park was located in Moosic, Lackawanna County. It was built as a picnic area back in 1886 and became a social hub for recreation. Eventually, it was turned into an amusement resort, and it really took off in the early 20th century when the Lackawanna and Wyoming Valley Railroad, more commonly known as the Laurel Line, began. The Laurel Line took passengers between Scranton and Wilkes-Barre with a stop at Rocky Glen Park. Parkgoers could find holiday celebrations and countless live performances, not to mention the rides, including the legendary $1 million roller coaster. Rocky Glen closed in 1987, and today isn't much more than an empty piece of land, but locals remember a century of good times. I'm Julie Sidoni. This is a Pennsylvania postcard from WVIA News.
So, how are we feeling? All up to date and ready for the day? Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Now, if you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and tune in every weekday wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And if you want even more local news, sign up for the WVIA News Notes newsletter, delivered to your inbox every Tuesday and Friday morning. Have a great day, everyone, and stay cool if you can. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.